CliffCentral.com.
Yes, good morning, everybody. It's live and it's all happening. What's happening here? Hello, Gord Laws. Hello, C.S. Ungweni. What's happening to you two, huh? Come on, give me some answers. I demand answers.
I'm knackered. I stayed up to watch the SN5 Starship prototype hop at Boca Chica last night.
Oh, yeah?
And Gord, speak English. What is that?
So, yeah, it's a very, very, very large spaceship that's now starting to be built. And with a new kind of engine called a Raptor engine, which has never flown before. And they just take the bum of this giant rocket that's like a skyscraper in size, and it's just maybe the first third or a quarter. And they see if this thing can fly. And they fly at 150 meters, and they land it. But they blow up like four of these prototypes before they get to this point. So okay, they had three launch windows, and they bailed at the very last second three times. And then last night at about 3 a.m., they flew the thing for 10 seconds, and it was all hashtag worth it.
Nice. But you heard what Sia said. You had me at bum.
Oh, yes.
That is fine for me.
It's the little things. Well, in my case, the gigantic things that do it for Sia.
Very nice. Very nice.
Enough about me. How are you?
Well, you didn't tell us a thing about you. You told us about this Boca Chica thing.
I said I'm late. I'm tired as fuck. I went to bed at like 3, and I probably took half an hour to get to sleep. And now here I
Where
am doing
this
purely for the love of the people. I get people that message me and say that the show is all that keeps them hanging on. And Jesus. I got people who, I miss
one. Just delete those people. But when people put pressure on me to do something that I'm doing anyway.
You like really have those people and are not just talking shit.
I promise you, if someone says to me, you're the only thing that keeps me hanging on, I'm like, I don't need that pressure in my life. I'm going to delete you.
Do you think that's pressure?
Yeah, I don't want to be. I, for God's sake, do I want to be the person keeping them from killing themselves or something? No, hell no.
Look,
tell me stuff like that.
Obviously, no one should kill themselves under any circumstances. But if I am the last, if a distant relationship with me over the airways is the last thing keeping you going, fuck, mate, you haven't watched Friends or like, tried chocolate, listened to Bon Jovi. I mean, there's got to be more to life than listening to me talk shit once a week. No, but I am pretty knackered. So I'm going to try not to hallucinate while we speak. It's going to be good. It's going to be interesting.
Perhaps if you don't take any shrooms, you also won't hallucinate.
Have you taken shrooms during lockdown?
No, I very nearly did. And then I gave them to a friend who wanted them more badly. Because I've got a thing called Rule 22. And Rule 22 is that when given the chance to buy, quality hallucinogenics that someone has vouched for and has not gone insane and eaten their own hand while they're taking it, get it. You sometimes can't find LSD. It's one of those things that there's not just like that you call. You got to know a person usually. So I always just, if a friends are going to go and buy and they ask me if I want, I say yes. And then I literally end up usually giving them to someone else. So I had these shrooms. I had them for ages. My one friend wanted them because he had a jewel plant for himself.
Yeah.
And he said that they were very, very good. And then a while later, he was like, hey, I can't find any more shrooms to replace your shrooms with. I'm going to give you some acid. So I've had a bunch of acid in my cupboard for about 5 months. And I got given two weed cookies the other day by a guy that I was purchasing actual ordinary weed from. And they just came with like two cookies. He's like, don't eat those unless you're aware that they're weed cookies. And I've had those in my drawer as well. And I'm more scared of those than I am of any shrooms.
Well, after we did those edibles, Sia, all that time ago, I won't touch anything with weed in it. Never again.
It's a different thing, though, GC. No. Like, whether you want to touch anything with weed again is up to you. But you shouldn't create an analog between the experiences of...
I know. I hated it so much, dude.
I'm terrified of eating weed, and I'll smoke. Like, I don't know thing.
Yeah. Hey, did you guys see that horrible... horrible explosion in Beirut.
Oh.
Jesus.
That, yikes.
There was this.
Mess of it all.
Before it was even on TV news, a friend of mine who's in Istanbul at the moment sent me the videos. And I thought, oh my God, because the first thing I thought when I saw the first video is that looks like Durban, right? So I thought, what the hell's going on here? Turns out it was Beirut. And then like 10 to 15 minutes after I'd received it, it came up on the TV news, because I thought there's no way that this isn't on the TV, right? Started watching. And yeah. I've seen probably about, I don't know, 20 of these videos filmed from different parts of the city.
The first one I got, sure. It sounded like the person filming might have been South African as well. On a second or third look, they turned out not to be. But at first, I also thought it was happening somewhere like Durban or PE.
Yeah, it was very, very I thought it scary.
I thought it was fake at first, because there's like some fireworks. Yeah.
A circular shockwave that, like,
yeah. All of that.
It looked like bad CGI, like the aliens had created a bubble around the building.
Well, that shockwave.
I really thought it was.
That's actually what happens to the air when it's pressurized like that.
It gets a fright.
Yeah, and it makes a ring, and then it makes like a little mushroom cloud.
Well, yeah, my ring makes a cloud when I get nervous as well. So if I was about to explode, I'd probably.
But you know how many people said to me they didn't think it was real because it did look like CGI, and they said there's no way a fireworks factory could do that. Oh yes, it can. Ammunition, dynamite, fireworks factories, those kinds of places, you don't need a lot of chemicals to make those explosions.
Yeah, but you do need a lot of precaution against where the smoking guys go and have their breaks.
Yeah,
because
yeah. But, you know, again, this is Lebanon, so do not discount the possibility that there was something to do with sabotage or...
Well, I saw some post as well then speculating that it was a retaliation about some politician being prosecuted. I have a feeling it came from somewhere.
Someone being prosecuted over the death of a politician.
Yeah, it's some politician is on the hook, and that, I mean, so who knows?
You know, forgive me. If you... Like, Lebanese politics is not my most specialized area of interest, but it does seem to me that, you know, in the beginning, all everyone was talking about was the verdict of a trial over the killing of the former prime minister, a guy called Rafiq Hariri. That was back in 2005, and they were finally going to give the verdict, and obviously this happened, surprise, surprise, in the middle of that. So there could still be a lot of layers to peel off of this thing, but Jesus, do you know how many people were caught in the immediate blast zone and what that did to them? Do you know what that does to a person?
I'm convinced the video clip that I first saw the dude taking it died, because he was like filming it and then that shockwave came and then it was just rubble in the end of the clip. But if you are in a terrorism somebody, it seems in retrospect, they say like all of the best ideas, not that terrorisming anyone's ever a good idea, but they say all of the best ideas are the ones that make people kick themselves because it's so obvious after you've thought of it. People are like, oh, well, how did we ever not think of that? And it's like in places with match factories and, I don't know, charcoal briquette factories and blitz firelighter factories. Like if those are in crowded areas, that's where I would terrorism.
Well, it's just amazing how if it was just a fireworks factory and there wasn't any sabotage. I mean, we know that certain places are very strict on health and safety. Other places, not so much. I don't know what Lebanon is like, but it's just unbelievable to see the size and the force of that blast and what it did to the whole city.
The statement from the president says that this whole entire ordeal is unacceptable. There was ammonium nitrate that is used in fertilizers and bombs, that it was stored in this place for more than 6 years. And the issue here was that there wasn't enough safety measures taken to protect all of this.
Well, I hate to say I told you so, but I've actually got proof I did this time. If you go onto my Instagram, you'll see I said it's probably ammonium nitrate. Because judging from that explosion, there are a few chemicals in the world that can do something like that, that are stored in large enough quantities to cause that.
As of an hour ago, the latest numbers are nearly 4,000 people have been injured.
Oh my God.
And 78 people have been confirmed killed. And there are still many more people who are lost in the rubble.
Mm-hmm. There's a video going around this morning, which is very upsetting to watch because it's got like literally pieces of mangled people lying all over the place.
Oh, no, no, no.
Oh, yes.
No, that sort of thing I can deal without. Mm. And I love the mentality of things like that with people at Facebook. So say there's like a dog meat contest or a dolphin hunting contest, or people have been killed in a thing, and people will like be like, look at it, look at it. And when you're like, geez, I don't want to see that. And I had to see it to find out what you were making me see to decide I didn't want to see it. And then they're like, then you don't care about the problem. I'm quite happy to care about starvation without having to watch people starve, and to care about burn victims without having to watch people burn. But yeah, that sort of thing, no, I don't even like to think
unnecessary about. Right,
yeah, and gross, and don't share stuff like that unless people have asked you if they can see it.
I don't mind seeing things like that. I've got a pretty strong constitution, but I don't like seeing animals being tortured. That really fucks me up.
Yeah jeez.
Man, I think that screws us up more than we realize.
If you turn your back on the truth, then you're part of the problem.
No, nonsense. You don't have to force yourself to watch snuff films. What did you say, Sia?
I think these things make an impact on us, even on a very minor or subconscious level. But I think we become too desensitized to things. We're also quick to look at gory videos of a car accident, or to see someone a corpse lying there stabbed. I really think these things are not good for us.
Mm. Yeah. And look, I mean, fireworks factories on principle can go and fuck themselves, but obviously not if that means innocent people get blown up in the process.
Yeah, sure. This is 2020, right? What a year.
Fuck.
Could it get any weirder?
I'm pretty sure when we look back on it, it will all make sense, because, you know, 2020 and hides. Never mind. Mm.
Mm. No, you were trying. You were almost sounding very motivational speaker-ish, trying to make us feel better, but no, we're in it.
Yeah. When we look back, it will be 2020 in hindsight.
Oy, oy, oy. All right, well, Gord, give us some updates. What have you been up to, man?
A lot of nothing. I'm practicing making stews. No, but this last week.
What's your birthday this week?
It was on the 1st, on Saturday.
Yeah, so how was your birthday? Did you do it on your own?
Yeah, I allegedly may or may not have, with no legal prosecution possible based on hearsay, gone and visited my brothers and their kids for the first time since about February.
I think you're allowed to do that, Gord.
I don't know. I don't
even if you're not allowed to, people are doing it, so you're not the only one.
Well, I only heard a rumor, but that may have been the case, and I might have gotten a Lego Old Trafford replica stadium from my family, which is awesome.
Cool. No.
Yeah, that's a really cool present. I'm like a bit admin shy of building it, because I tend to screw these things up, but I've got a proper Legoer coming to help me, my friend Dylan. And other than that, work has kind of picked up, which is Lego, amazing. What? Not enough to unfuck the pooch based on how bad it's been, but it's gone from a 0 out of 10 to about a 3 or a 4. And so I've been a bit busy, and it's when I say a bit busy, still not compared to normal levels, but it's a lot better than nothing.
That's awesome. It. Very good stuff.
Working and parking off. You guys?
Yeah, it's just been crazy. I mean, we haven't stopped. I really...
Well, you do know that the rabbits came back in Gareth's place, and I think that was a birthday present for you.
Yeah, one of the rabbits. I couldn't wait to let Gord know, so I had to spoil it before the show. But one of them, it popped back on the set on your birthday. But I haven't seen it since.
It was one of those happy and sad moments, because seeing Gandalf was just such a relief, and he's just such a warm character. But then I realized that if Gandalf came out for my birthday and Friesland didn't, well, what could stop Friesland from coming out for my birthday? So I fear the worst.
Friesland's I fear that Friesland has not had a great winter. I think Friesland's time is up.
It was one of those things that made me very happy and very sad at the same time. Like when your wife tells you that you've got the biggest dick out of all of your brothers.
Oh, Jesus. All right. Did you guys see that car that drove into the restaurant in Cape Town?
Yeah, was that a real thing? Mm. Like a Jaguar or something like that.
Yeah, it was a Jag, and the number plate was Too Fast For You, which indicates to me immediately that that person shouldn't have a car. Like if your car...
This happened in South Africa.
How accurate is that number plate? Like going to crash into Tashes is
What do they call it? A nominative determinism.
Yes, sort of irony, pre-planned, setting yourself up for irony.
It's like if you work in a factory that makes bread and your surname is Baker.
In this particular or if you were to be a lawyer and your surname was Laws, but in this particular case, it was prophetic. It was a prophecy. Normally, I think douche plates are the douchiest thing you can do, especially if they're bad like that and have like little spelling shortcuts. Like my buddy, and you know this buddy. Do you remember Chesney Tager's BMW Z3 with topples as its number plate? Because he couldn't fit topless. So he left the
last. Yes, I remember topples.
And he drove a car for years called that had topples as its number plate. But anyway, a douche plate is generally a pretty douchey thing to do. But when it can prophesize the future, like if I drive past an oak on a Wednesday, his number plate is fatal crash on Wednesday, I'm like pulling over until he's
gone. But you know, I think about this explosion in Beirut, and I think about this guy who, because the story with this car that crashed into the Botanicum Cafe and Grill, the story with that is that the person driving lost control, and instead of pushing down on the brake, went down on the accelerator. And that could happen to anybody. Ooh. Okay, so even if this person...
I don't know if that could happen to anybody. I use a pretty...
Gord, I know people who've gone into reverse instead of going forward. It happens, huh? I mean, I'm not saying it should happen.
I don't think it's impossible.
It's careless. Yeah, it's careless and stupid. But the point is that you could be passing by a factory in your car, and some idiot hasn't done the proper health and safety, and the factory explodes, and that's the end of you. Or you could be in your car and put your foot in the wrong pedal because you're wearing slippers or something. Mm. I mean, this stuff happens, man.
Or you could be doing Homer Simpson's job at the Fukushima. Yes. Fucking, you think like fireworks factory for an explosion in a crowded area. Could it have been any worse?
No.
Yes. Japan, hold my sake.
Yeah. The car was driven by a 76-year-old woman, apparently.
Driving too fast for you.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. You see, it goes
right. That might have been the dealership. Like, listen, Marjorie. It's a lovely car, but we think it's too fast for you.
Nah.
Well, apparently, the restaurant in question posted the picture on their social media, and the driver's son started fighting with everyone who was laughing at his mom for the accident. She caused the accident. She was fine.
Yeah.
He was fine.
I mean, I get that.
He started fighting with everybody.
That's inviting fire. That's like the British strategy of red uniforms at war. Like your pain mixed with the fact that it is kind of funny, presuming no one was badly hurt. You just like... It's like if you're a fat oak who's riding a unicycle and you fall off your unicycle and someone puts a video of it online, you just quietly chuckle along and go, shit.
You got to.
But look, this is going back to this theory we've once discussed on the show around should there be a cap for people who should be driving? I mean, she was 76.
I don't think
so. You have to wear a cap while you drive.
No.
I don't think 76 is at the age yet where you need to have your car license.
I think after 65, you've got to go for a test sometimes.
Well,
yeah.
A reaction and an eyesight test and a like lucidity test.
I don't know if this is true, but Morgan says that too fast for you lady revs her engine every time she arrives at the restaurant. She makes a big show of her fancy car.
Oh, man.
She's going to have to shout vroom, vroom, vroom outside for now.
I think that is so embarrassing. You see, it's just the one time it doesn't work out.
So she's known. Like,
yeah, she's known.
The picture that I'm painting in my head, it's like that middle-aged, fat oak, possibly graying in his beard and balding somewhat, on his Harley that needs to rev outside the news cafe while he drives away. And then one day that oak's going to bail and fall over, and it's going to be spectacular. Look, I also am not 100% sure whether anyone was or wasn't hurt, so I'm being cautious about how I need to find this. But in a no-hurt situation, it's fucking hysterical.
Gogo's got it going on. If you're 76 and you go for regular lunches and you go and you rev your car outside.
I want to be a nightmare when I'm old, but we're rich enough that people have to care.
It's wow. I think that must be very humiliating to be an older person who's meant to be more responsible. This woman who drives this car with this douchey number plate, which really should be her son's because she's too old to have a number plate that says too fast for you.
Who says she's too old? Supposed to be, please.
Which is the royal that's like a old bastard and doesn't care?
Prince Philip.
Well,
yeah, this is like that kind of a vibe. He probably rides around in a fucking Jaguar that says "fuck the poor" on the number plate.
Oh, well, the Queen also still drives herself every now and then.
Well, she's the Queen. She's got a lot of things she has to accomplish, and she needs to be driven. Yeah, she probably has mantras.
No, not driven. Sometimes she does drive herself. That's the point I'm making. So she could be a person riding around with too fast for you as well.
Yeah, you know, I don't think so. I don't think the Queen has a number plate like that. I don't know anything about it, but I'm willing to put the chips on that particular number.
Imagine the Queen with too fast for you.
Yeah. And then Philip with what?
A-W-E-E-E-E-N.
And Philip has what? Like the Queen.
Or QVIX69.
Oh, that would be so cool. I've never had a personalized plate. I've never wanted one. Have you?
When I was very, like when I bought my first car in my early 20s, my first car that I bought myself, traded in the one that I got from my pops, it's like my brother's old car, long story.
Yeah.
And I wanted to get metal GP as the number plate. And I kind of think I could have pulled it off, like if I was still stuck with it. But like I dated a lovely girl for 4 years, and like she was still using her number plate from like 10 years before, which was W trash. And I did come a point where I was like, listen, it's kind of not that cool anymore that you like 30.
Did you start dating her with that number plate?
Yeah, and she'd already had it for like a few
years. Oh, I would have stayed away.
No, it was kind of cool, but like eventually I was like, look, it was almost ish all right when you were 27, but now you're 33 or 32, well, it's not ideal.
Well, get ready to roll your eyes, because as a kid, I thought I wanted to get a personalized number plate.
Yes.
And I wanted it to say, see ya. S-E-E space Y-A. I know.
I actually think that's not the worst. Like, I get Gord's metal one and I get your Sierra one. Those are not terrible.
I wanted to, it was a Polo 1.6 and it said Polo 1.6 in those little silver letters that are look like they're individually stuck on the back. And I wanted to get 1.666 and see if anyone could like see my car. I couldn't organize it and then I forgot about it, but I kind of wish I had. I missed a trick there because I wouldn't pull it off now.
Gareth, are you talking about like some of those too hot?
Yeah, too fast for you. Those are exactly the number plates that I just hate. When I see someone like that on the road, I just give them a wide berth. I'm like,
I love it as well.
Yeah, sorry,
something's going to happen with people like that. They're always the ones. I've seen so many accidents where the car that you can see caused the accident is one with a personalized number plate, because you've got a guy who's, or a girl, who's got a major ego, and it's important for them to have strangers notice them. You know, it's not enough that your car's bright red or that you drive badly. You also need people to read something that you've personalized on your number plate.
My best is when it's like, it's a version of your name. Like, I see this Mini coming along and I'm like, oh my God, it's Shazza. Hi, Shazza. Oh, Shazza, you're such a legend. There's this massive fucking tank 4x4 that this dude drives around. You know, one of those buckies that's like certified for warfare.
Yes.
With like searchlights. And I see it driving around Douglasdale from time to time. And I took a clip of it once. His number plate is Warrior. W-A-R-I-O-R. Warrior.
As in would be warrior, but...
Yeah, whenever I see Warrior, I'm like, oh my God, he's real. The Warrior. It's the Warrior. He's real. The legend is true.
Maybe these people are getting what they want. I mean, here we are. We're talking about them, so...
Hundreds of people a day to see them and roll their eyes and think, that's just Jazzy. You're a douche.
Look, I don't know. I don't know what it's like to get no attention in your life, because I've had too much. So I tend the opposite way. And I don't want attention. The last thing I would want is big, you know, those decals some people have on their cars.
Oh yeah, where the car's sponsored and they just have to have their branding on it.
I would rather drive a wheelbarrow with a lawnmower engine than have my name in massive decals.
That's because you shopping for the best way to trade in your car on a new car. What was the thing yesterday? Last week, rather, or the week before last?
No. They've sold it, hey?
Yeah, exactly. But I'm like driving around in the shittest Toyota in the world. So I sometimes think if someone wanted to give me a Tiguan and it just had to say like big kitsch Gord on the side and then brought to you by McCarthy Delta,
you'd be okay with it.
I'd be fine with the chart.
Well, Phil actually did sell my car. We'll talk to him on Friday. But here's something for you, Gord. This is actually Bulelo forwarded this to me. It's from Audrey. Audrey says, message for Gord. My in-laws call their dogs Trixie and Tracy. They also have two other dogs called Charlie and Reggie. And when they get angry with them, they're called Charles and Reginald.
Yeah, Charles and Reginald is the kind of tone you need to take with them when they're misbehaving. Look, Tracy and Trixie, these are kind of like borderline cutesy dog names, like calling like Harvey or Humphrey or Clive. It's like just slightly silly name. But it's
we brought them up last week and I have not stopped laughing. Sorry, 2 weeks ago. His name is
Jeff.
Yeah.
Steve, that's when it's funny. And I still think Patrick or Patricia for the cat, so it's Pat the Cat. That's the golden standard for cool the pet names. But I do like Reginald and Charles when they misbehave.
Very fancy.
All right, let's look at some headlines, guys. Environmental health expert Jacobus Roots on Tuesday said that the report produced after the Free State spent 255 million rand on the audits of houses for eradication of asbestos was useless. Can you believe the government just pissed away 255 million rand?
Is asbestos a thing in South Africa? I mean, it might be, but I haven't heard about it.
No, we have asbestos, dude. We have that stuff in our roofs.
I should really call it asbestos.
Yes.
God.
Asbestos. I'll play a clip for you just now that is just unbelievable. I've got to say, like, I am so impressed with Shahan Ramkissoon from ENCA. And you know, I haven't really said much about the newsreaders there because I didn't really watch news TV, but I saw him last night having a go at Pule Mabe about this corruption, the PPE scandal.
Right.
He tucked into him with force. I found myself clapping and cheering the news, and that doesn't happen often. So I'll play that for you just now. You'll hear what I mean. So in other words, this asbestos eradication audit was just a complete waste of time. Money was spent to no avail. It was a total waste of money and time, and it's very embarrassing. Not surprisingly, in the Free State. Roots told the State Capture Commission of Inquiry he had never heard of Blackhead Consulting or Diamond Hill Consulting, the companies that were paid to do the work.
Yes, it's Blackhead Consulting. Can you imagine? It's a bad name on multiple fronts.
Isn't that awful?
So hyphenated as one word or as two words.
It's one word.
It's bad in all grammatical approaches.
The commission's investigations found that more than 100 million rand was paid to officials, including former Free State Premier and ANC Secretary General Ace Magashule. Send that fucking guy to jail. Why are we messing around? He is a crook from top to bottom. You know that when he left his office as premier, he cleared out the art on the walls and took it home. Art that was expensive that belonged to the office of the premier of the Free State. He cleared. You know, when you become premier, you get a house, a really nice house, by the way, by all standards. But in Bloemfontein, it's like the house because it's got this big garden and it's got this great view and. You move into that, and what you do if you're a decent person, like Donald Trump moves into the White House, Barack Obama doesn't leave with all the paintings.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's a little bit like taking the spoilers off your company car before you give it back.
It's outrageous, and it's not the spoilers. Some of this art's worth a lot of money, so Ace just takes it, and he says, put that in the truck as well. Anyway, this disgusting human being who has no qualms about stealing from poor people, especially in a province like the Free State where there are a lot of poor people.
The expensive state.
Yeah. Apparently they paid 7,000 rand per house just to do this audit. Hundreds of millions wasted.
Did they at least go in, check the house for asbestos, write it on a list, yes or no?
Not even. It's just apparently the Deputy Chief Justice is now getting pretty pissed off. He said he's considering issuing a summons so that failure to appear before the commission becomes a criminal offense. Good. Lock people up.
I don't know the commission rules of commissions, but I would think failure to appear would be a problem.
Yeah, like John Flismas said on my So What Now show not so long ago, he said we need people in orange overalls, and I couldn't agree more. I'm sick of hearing platitudes. In other news, Fidelity are concerned about a spike in cash and transit heists in the last 6 weeks. Well, people are desperate, and thieves are also desperate because there are less of us moving around. There are less of us with cash on us. Most of us are staying at home. It's harder to get money to steal from people. So Fidelity Services Group said it had recorded three heists in the space of just 30 minutes this week.
Yeah, well, the thieves and stuff were pretty happy with, they were like desperate enough to do some pretty bold-faced thieving prior to all of this. Uh-huh. So you can imagine.
Well, apparently in Flagstaff in the Eastern Cape was the first incident Monday night, second one in Kensington in Johannesburg, and the third one in Delmas in Mpumalanga. Fidelity said that heavily armed suspects were not able to steal any money, but they were concerned about the spike in cash and transit heists over the last 6 weeks. The group said that fortunately none of their employees were injured in the attacks. I don't know why the... Because these guys who do these cash and transit heists are clearly trained, right? A lot of them have some kind of military training. They certainly have military equipment. So why don't we staff up a special police unit? I don't know if we have one of these, but where we get the very best people, you know, like those guys who, you know, the movies that they make about those Navy SEALs who can...
Going to run out of names for these dudes, because you've had the Hawks, you've had the Scorpions, and they're just going to go in descending order of how badass the animal is. They're going to end up at like the Pigeons, and they'll this joke is actually my friend Alan Adams, just before I get accused of plagiarism, but eventually they're going to run out of badass creatures and end at the Anemone. And the anemone's payoff line the Anemone's payoff line will be Anemone of the People.
What's the most badass animal you can be?
Lockdown prawn. I have a whole massive one down on my arm. Easily the scariest creature that exists.
No. No, just because it jumps sideways.
It is made of pure
stated. You can't call a police unit the Parkdown prawns.
If you're South African, that's the scariest shit we have here. And we have seriously scary shit here.
We need the Shongololos.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
No, yeah. The scariest animal, whether it's actually ever lived or not, is a dragon. You call them the dragons. Yes, okay, so people
A,
will shit themselves.
Not real, and B, give me a dragon any fucking day where I can reason with it. Find, I mean, a Parkdown prawn doesn't stop and think. A dragon might find a use for you. Parkdown prawn just wants to watch the world burn. Cover it in an inky layer.
I reckon we've got to train up a new unit, and these guys have got to just have a chance to do whatever they need to do. And they must go in hard and fuck these guys up, right?
Yep, I'm all. But the thing is, then it becomes a question of like, who wields that mighty axe? Who's their boss? Who's gonna enforce the piggery through the enemies?
But do you still take like just quicken your pace whenever you see one of those cars or trucks?
I hate those cars.
Because I still do.
Yeah, for sure. Stay out. It's none of my business.
Which car?
You're the cash and transit trucks.
Yes, of course.
The other day when I was doing my grocery shopping, I was walking towards my car in the parking lot, and this garage door to the side of the shopping center opened, and there was a cash and transit truck. I was like, okay, wait, didn't see that one from anywhere. I'm thinking, like, now we really do have to be.
Taken aback when I'm kind of not paying attention, and suddenly I see one of those dudes in the bulletproof vest with the machine gun pointing.
Yes.
I'm just like, what? There's an O with a machine gun. He's got full massacring capacity right now. And, like, I just imagine how foreigners who are, like, doing their third grocery shop of their visit to South Africa, halfway through their two-week trip, they're in Spa, and they see the giant tank. We'll give Gareth a moment to finish.
Now, when I do that, I switch off my microphone. So you're the only one who hears that I'm sneezing or blowing my nose.
Okay.
But we can't hear ourselves.
Yes. I was.
Anyway, do you want to hear some more headlines?
Yes, please.
There are other things going on. 1,400 pick and pay workers have taken voluntary severance packages since March. That figure was contained in the retailer's last trading statement. Pick and Pay says government's decision to ban the sale of alcohol and tobacco has been detrimental to their business. Lift the ban, government, you assholes. It projects headline earnings per share for the 26 weeks to end August will drop by more than 50%. The share price was down over 3% on Tuesday morning.
Please lift the ban. Do, 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 do. Please lift the ban. Do, 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 do. People are hungry and they are tired. Please lift
the ban. Do, 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 do.
You
not
know,
even a buddy is at this point.
Government, you are such a jerk. Please lift the ban. We are not. No one is smoking. Take it from me.
God, you're writing the theme tune to everything I ever do in my life from now on. That's
I don't know. If this was a marketable skill I'd be doing. So, like, if Weird Al Yankovic hadn't already done it, and I'd
Lift the ban.
Please lift the ban.
Didn't Charlie Sheen's character in Two and a Half Men do that? Didn't Charlie Sheen's character in Two and a Half Men do that professionally? God, I'm sure you can get paid for it.
Ads, which is also a lot of form. Like, I've got jingles from my childhood for ads stuck in my head that I will never get rid of. Theme music, ad music. There's one. And it's haunted me my entire life. And it used to play on 94.7 because my mom would listen to it at a certain time every day. Yeah. And it went, well, I'm an alien from outer space, and I'm trying real hard to get out of this place. But I need a wheel balance, and my alignment's wrong. I need a wheel balance that won't take too long. And out of the blue, I heard this name. And that's when I knew I was back in the game. Lombard Tires. So I took
Lombard Tires. I remember that.
I took my ship down to Lombard in town, had my Goodyears on before the sun went down. And that's the story of my trip and how I got my money's worth at Lombard Tires. I would walk before I bought a tire from Lombard. I'd pay.
No, come on.
For getting a free one from Lombard.
See, I miss that, and I miss old school theme songs at the beginning of programs, like full-fledged songs. Yes. Like the other day, I found myself singing that song from Dawson's Creek. I don't want to wait.
But that was on the best right one just for the show is like step by step, day by day, a fresh start over, a different hand to play. Do 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 do, and then like there was epic like loving da 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 da.
Stop. We're going down a horrible
Now they just like spy on your brain. Like he used to sing you a nice, we'll sing you a nice song. Please buy a product. Now it's like yesterday in your dream there was a VCR. Here is VCRs.
There's no creativity anymore.
Same.
They don't even try to make ads funny. I mean, if you watch those insurance ads, which I fucking hate.
In the stadium.
Oh, I hate those.
All the people cheering and celebrating for utterance.
I can just imagine
the committee of people who fucking butchered that idea down. The agency probably got paid a lot of money.
Famously, utterance don't have an agency.
There you go. Yeah. Because, like, whoever thought best way to sell insurance with refunds if you don't claim and, like, perks and things on a premium level is to show lots of people dancing in a stadium and a whole boardroom full of people were like, yes, that's fun. I'd buy insurance if people were dancing about it in the stadium.
Sure. Dummies. Okay, let's look at some other stuff that's going on. The ANC have apologized and regret the breach of lockdown regulations outside the home of Andrew Mlangeni last month. Many were outraged at the visuals of people closely gathered outside the stalwart's home as his remains arrived ahead of his funeral the next day. Lockdown regulations currently in place include physical distancing and the prohibition of gatherings of more than 50 people. There was also that very sweet video, which I don't get upset about because I'm not a smoker, and you know how I feel about the whole ban on smoking. But there were three military personnel, two black guys and a white dude, obviously quite high ranking because they were, you know, bedecked in medals and had fancy rank insignia on the epaulettes and all the rest of it. But they all shared a cigarette. And it got people furious. And I was like, no, it doesn't make me furious. Look at this is the real South Africa. It's like there is racial harmony and people getting on with their jobs and sharing a ciggy because they don't give a fuck. And I loved that video. So unlike many people who are upset about it, I was like, yeah, look at this. This is what South Africa really has, is people getting on with it and working together. It's not this massive race divide, you know, that you see in America or anywhere else.
Sharing a nice cigarette on a summer's afternoon.
Right. They were all like, hey, can I help you light your ciggy? Yeah, do you want one? Here's one. Let's share this one. It was nice.
That part of Anchorman where Ron Burgundy is doing like an endorsement spot for not doing drugs. And he's like, come on, kids. Why would you want to do that to yourself when you've got your whole life to enjoy? You can sit under a tree, enjoying a nice scotch and smoking a pack of cigarettes. Urging kids to smoke instead of do drugs. Very funny.
Well, I think it was that video, though, that prompted Peggy Cele to amend things around and now say that if you are caught smoking in public, you might have to prove a receipt.
Ugh, please. Listen, the point is just, here's the ANC apologizing again. I don't think we want any more apologies. Listen to Shahan. This is the clip that I was going to play for you earlier. He's talking to Pule Mabe, who is the ANC spokesperson, all right? And you're going to love this because Pule Mabe is like, oh, well, we're really sorry about all the corruption. And Shahan is like, out of all the people, we've interviewed him on here once about like his grooming habits. He's not the kind of guy who you'd think was going to fight with the ANC spokesperson. But my God, do I take that back. He's like a hero to me now. Listen to this. Here he is having a go. Let me find this volume and turn it up a bit.
And that does not condone corrupt activities, whether you're a freedom fighter or not, that does not condone corrupt activities. I can't believe you actually said that.
Well, I was saying that in the context of encouraging you to go and look at the report on how the ANC shall have resolved on these matters. But you see, Sean, I wouldn't want to be sidetracked. We are dealing with the issues of COVID-19. And how the ANC is responding to some of these acts of grand corruption and reassuring the people of South Africa that our response on COVID-19 is really about saving lives and that we will act against we have encouraged our government to act against any wrongdoing associated with the fight or undermining the fight against COVID-19.
Pule, what I'm saying is, Pule, we need action from the ANC. You're taking this nation for fools with years of promises and no action. When do we see politicians and politically connected individuals in jail?
Well, I can tell you now, we have not had COVID-19 for years. Let's just talk about the pandemic that we began dealing with over the past few months.
Yes, but we've had corruption for years.
So that we are focused in our thing, you see, because screaming at the ANC on corruption allegations and making generic statements, even when the African National Congress has put forward a program to deal with issues that are really a cancer in our own society, that alone poses a challenge. Here is the ANC. It comes out of its own NEC. It speaks to the measures that it is going to be undertaking to fight the scourge of corruption. It also says that at the front line of dealing with all of this are going to be its own national officials, working together with the relevant structures that have...
That isn't even the best part of it, because Shahan, eventually Pule is like, look, we are asking people to hold out their hands. And he's like, I don't want to hold out my hand to you. He had a full go at him. It was absolutely fantastic.
It is a bit like going... When will you, the corrupt government, finally take steps against the corrupt government? When are you going to do something? No. It's like, well, we as South Africans, I say this as a person that has deliberately done everything I can to avoid any kind of news for about 4 months now.
Yes.
But, you know, if you politically involve people, it's like, don't go shout at the government. When is something going to be done? Do something. I've got this idea for like modern rules for like mass action and civil disobedience and conflict. Like, there should be like Nerf bats and Nerf guns, and you're allowed to like go and, for example, if everybody just hit golf balls at the union buildings in protest, it would break a lot of windows, probably wouldn't kill anybody though, right? So like, we need some form of like medium to assertive, not violent, but we need rowdiness.
Okay. I think that's the worst idea I've ever heard for a protest, but all right.
Nerf guns and I'm just saying something that's not like torches and pitchforks
because
better than going and asking the government if you bloody
governments are really going to shit themselves if we all come with Nerf guns. Can you imagine?
It's a bit like going to Nando's and asking them if you're hungry. You know, going to the government and saying, when is something going to be done about the government?
If my brother's children come and shoot me with Nerf guns, I go, oh, no, that's terrible. But then I laugh because they're kids.
Like sending your complaint letter about your treatment directly to Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah, fair enough.
I have had a terrible time working under Harvey.
Well, listen to
this. I'm just surprised, and I hope I'm not inspiring someone to use this, that none of these government officials thus far have used internet or a weak connection as a means to get out of things. Because, I mean, at that point, Pule could have just been like, and just hung up on the call, like, oh, sorry, couldn't answer.
Weak connections. Mm.
Did you see that clip? And you can look this up online too, of the Chinese ambassador to Britain. He's on one of those hard talk type question and answer programs. And the interviewer says to him, explain to me what's going on with these Uyghur people who are being put onto trains, their heads are being shaved, they're being forced into sterilization. It's like Nazi Germany, you know.
Eugenics.
Yeah, you can't get away from it. And he's like, well, the most interesting thing about this province is it's so beautiful. It's got the most natural beauty. The guy's like, yeah, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about human rights abuses and genocide going on in this province with the Uyghurs. And he's like, oh, but what you fail to notice is the mountain in the background is so pretty. And
I mean, you just didn't understand. I mean, you got to keep in mind.
Total denial. This is Marxism at work. It's like deny the reality.
He was already on hard talk, and when it's not your first language, then it's very hard talk.
Yeah.
So maybe he just didn't understand.
I don't buy that for a second.
Are you reading the statement that they released around that? Because it sounds like some Kool-Aid.
Listen to this quickly. You'll love this story. Egypt has invited Elon Musk to visit the famed pyramids and Sphinx after the SpaceX and Tesla founder posted a satirical tweet stating that clearly extraterrestrials had built the giant monuments. Aliens built the pyramids of. That's what Musk tweeted, picking up on a theme popular with conspiracy theorists and kicking off a predictable flood of replies ranging from lighthearted to furious. So the Egyptian government actually said, come and
They found tombs of some of the builders. One of the more recent excavations was like a site where a lot was revealed about like people who built it and what happened to them and stuff. And they know as well, it's impossible to move these bricks. The solution was literally wetting the sand in front of the brick and pushing it over, and it actually works. You just need to kill a lot of slaves to do it. But I don't know whether Elon Musk in this case was being 1,000% serious. You know, he's the kind of guy to joke about geeky stuff. He's putting rockets in space. He obviously knows alien vibes are speculative. But again, it's like going to the cover-up people and asking them to show you the cover-up. Like, say NASA staged the moon landing. It's like walking into NASA and going, we demand you show us how you staged the moon landing. Like, same thing. If the Egyptians are, if the whole thing's a hoax and the Egyptians know that aliens built it, but they don't want anyone to know, them showing you the pyramids, it's the last people you want to prove to you. You know what I mean?
I mean, I agree with you. I think he was taking the piss because this minister, she seems like very social media savvy because she replied, I follow your work with a lot of admiration. I invite you and SpaceX to explore the writings about how the pyramids were built and also to check out the tombs of the pyramid builders. Mr. Musk, we are waiting for you with a little rocket.
Tourism punt. That was really, really good way to engage.
I've got to say, like Rania Al-Mashat, who is the person in question, good response. This is how you deal with people on social media, not like Pule Mabe.
A whole lot of people are thinking who previously weren't. I too would like to see that stuff about the pyramids and whether it really, who really made it. I might one day go to Egypt, and so seeds are planted.
Egypt's tourism sector has suffered a decade of turmoil after the 2011 Arab Spring protests and hasn't really gotten back to where it used to be. The tourism sector accounts for a fifth of the country's GDP and employs 3 million people. That's interesting. And I'd love to go to Egypt. I haven't been there.
Yeah. It's the heat, like nothing against the place. I just look at places that look very hot and I get like sympathetic nervous system response. I start sweating even if it's the middle of winter. Like if I'm very cold in winter, I just imagine being stuck on the tarmac waiting for that little bus to fetch you in Dubai airport when it's 85 degrees at 5 in the morning and you've just been on like such a long flight, and then they march you out onto the pavement and you stand on the black tar waiting for 20 minutes for a bus that's going to drive you 18 kilometers to the airport. I think of that and I get warm.
Yeah, that's I know exactly the feeling.
That's how I imagine Egypt.
By the way, I've written a blog which is already getting massive response. I expected this. It's going to get more.
When you press publish, you were like, oh, I know this is a massive response. I've written a real doozy here.
I know it's going to get a response because it's about things that really touch people's nerves. It's about the corruption pandemic. And I'm looking at the disease, not the symptoms. I'm looking at why it is that so many people in politics steal. And I've done a bit of an amateur psychologist's take on this thing. And I know it's going to piss off a ton of people, but it's also going to make a lot of people think. So if you want to go and see that, if you feel like some brain food this morning, I'm not saying it's a brilliant article, but it certainly scratches at the surface of something that we've got going on in this country that people are always confused by, because we were just talking about the ANC, right? And we were saying, what is it with all this corruption? What can we do? Well, first we need to understand the disease. We need to know why people feel motivated to steal. I've never stolen public money in my life.
I stole a tiny clay duck from my friend Del Mulaney when I was about four from the preschool that I was at. And I told my mom about it a couple of years later, so probably the next week. And I just
break
down in tears and handed it over. And then I decided to hand it over, and then I couldn't find it, and I lost it, and I was going to give it back. And like the trauma of the guilt of stealing when I was four and having to tell my mom, and then like saying, okay, cool, we'll give it back. I hid it under my bed, and then it wasn't there anymore. It's just tied back. And it was in the car when it was his mom's turn to do lift club, and I just held it in my fist because I was mesmerized by it. Since then, and I know there's none so guilty as the unaccused man who pleads innocence. Like, trust no one if they say, hi, here's reasons you can trust me. Uh-huh. But like lying and cheating and that sort of shit, I'm bad at it because I feel fucking terrible.
Well, there, Gord's just had a what do you call that? Like a confession.
Yeah, I stole something and I wasn't able to give it back. And I even told Dale, I ended up working with him a few years later in advertising. He works at TBWA. He's a grad oak. He's my best friend in preschool. And I even told him and he was like, dude, what are you talking about? And I was like, you have no idea what a big deal this has been for me.
But with all due respect, a tiny clay duck is nothing in comparison to millions of...
Venue 4, that clay duck was made out of solid gold and...
Stealing is stealing. And the fact is, like, I've looked at the reasons why. I took two case studies from the ANC and looked at Malusi Gigaba and his wife and what's happened there very publicly. And Mduduzi Manana, who is easily one of the bad guys in the ANC because he was accused of – he wasn't accused. He was actually convicted. He pleaded guilty and paid fines for beating up three women at the Cubana in Four Ways, remember?
Yeah, that's why they call it a fine when they catch you and you go, fine.
Is that where it comes from? I didn't know.
Allegedly.
Oh, man. All right. Okay. We have lots of other stuff to come. It's 7 o'clock, cliffcentral.com. Let us know what's on your mind this morning, and you can get hold of us on 079-748-2090. Gord wants to tell us in a little while about how bad he felt laughing at a YouTuber with Tourette's who was trying to bake.
Yeah, I'm so conflicted about it, but we'll get to that after this break.
Oh, come on. I want to hear the whole story.
I'm ready to get into it, but it's for after, to keep the people wanting more.
Don't get all soft with me. Coming up, cliffcentral.com, Sia, Gord, and I, and you, 079-748-2090.
Cliff Central. Go.
Yes, thank you, Gord. Always wanted to be a radio announcer, Gord Laws.
Cliffcentral.com. For the best in morning times. With Steer, Gareth, and Gord. Cliffcentral.com.
Cliffcentral.com.